Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek. Today we're going to be talking about God's mercy. So glad to have you with me for this program, because so many times we just don't appreciate how merciful He is and how many chances He gives us. And I think as we look at the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to hear this theme. But you got to look at all the Mass readings. When we look at them all together, we're going to see this theme emerge. God is merciful, and He gives us chance after chance after chance to turn our lives around. Well, are we listening? Are we listening? So a lot of times, no. A lot of times we are not listening. So let's talk about that today and really see if we can develop that sense of urgency. That's a big theme in my writings, in my speaking, this idea of a sense of urgency. Now is the time. Today is the day. We don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow. And it's one of the things that Jesus would always try to emphasize in His teachings as well. Like, don't count on tomorrow being the day you're going to turn your life around. Don't count on tomorrow being the day you're going to go out and do good. Do it today. And, you know, so many of us get stuck either dwelling on the past or worried about an uncertain future that we miss the present moment, which is a big mistake, because really, that's all we have. So we will talk about that today as we examine the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to have you along for the remainder of the show. At least I hope you're going to be along for the rest of the show. Don't go anywhere, because the show's going to be good. I'll tell, because you know why? And here's how I know. Not because of me, but because I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a special message today, as I always do. You know I can't do this myself, but between me and the Spirit, and of course the Spirit's doing all the work, we're going to have a good show for you today. At least I hope so. But, you know, it's always such a pleasure to be able to hang out with you here on the Gary Zimek Show, where we can spend a little time sitting across the table from each other. You know, you have your coffee or your drink, whatever it may be, and we're just chatting about the Lord. And it's one of the beautiful things about radio that I love. I love doing radio. I love doing these podcasts so that we can do that, so we can have that relationship and be able to talk about Jesus and His church, and how He can bring hope to what is often, in our minds, a hopeless situation. Amen to that? All right. Hey, before we pray, I want to give you a reminder that you can find out more about my work by going to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com. If at any point you have any questions about anything, you can always reach me either through the website using the contact page, or just send an email to Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. I also want to let you know that I have a new book coming out, technically in October. It may come out a little bit earlier than then. It's a Let Go of worry, let go of anger and stress. It's good to know the title of your own book, don't you think? Let go of anger and stress. Be transformed by the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit works in us, we essentially are being made into the image of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. So believe it or not, for some of us, he really has his work cut out for him. But the Holy Spirit's job is to transform you and me into Jesus. So when the fruits are evident in our lives, the various fruits of the Spirit, the love, the peace, the joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When those nine fruits, as listed by St. Paul, are evident in our lives, then we are looking somewhat like Jesus. Now, you know, we're never going to be perfectly there, but we want to get as close as possible before our time runs out. Remember, our time is limited. So if you want to check out the book or maybe pre-order it, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out more information about Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. Again, it's going to be out in very early October, but sometimes these books come out a little bit early, so it might even show up in September. Right now, let's turn to our Father in Heaven. He is just waiting for us. He wants to hear. He's waiting to hear from us. We're going to turn to him in prayer and ask him to grant us what we need and also to bless this time together. And I'm going to be praying that I get the words so that I can deliver the message that he wants you to hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we turn to you with grateful hearts, grateful for the fact that you have brought us to this moment in time. You have provided for all of our needs, material and spiritual, up until the present moment. And because of that, as we look back, we realize that there is no reason to believe that you would not provide for us in the future. Father, we thank you for all of creation. We thank you for being able to see elements of your love in nature, in other people, in circumstances, through the Bible. And if we add all of this up, we can easily draw the conclusion that you really love us, and that you will not desert us. Father, I ask you to provide for our needs this day. Allow us to draw closer to you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for not giving up on us, for giving us numerous chances to repent, to turn our lives around. We pray for the grace to really be motivated to do it. Father, I ask you to send out your Holy Spirit, a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Awaken your Holy Spirit in each of us today. Give me the words, the message that I am supposed to proclaim, and open all of our hearts and minds to be receptive to the message and be ready to act on it. ASAP. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, listen, you notice when I pray, and I really do believe this, I pray for all of our hearts and minds to be opened up to hear the message. So when I'm speaking, right, even if I'm speaking the message given to me from the Holy Spirit, because I'm asking for the Holy Spirit's help, it doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to be listening. I can't tell you how many times I'm saying something and it really registers with me. You know, so that's important for all of us to remember. Anytime we go out and try to evangelize, share the good news, help somebody understand more about Jesus, let the Holy Spirit speak to you too. I mean, that happens to me all the time. So I'm always praying for that ability to be able to understand the Spirit. So we're talking today about the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, remember, there are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. So, and then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. And that's the church, that's the end of the church year. And then we begin again with the first Sunday of Advent. So we're right about at the middle right now, the middle of the church year. We've got another half to go. So these are the reading today is, I think that's kind of appropriate because the readings today essentially say you've still got time, but do it now. You know, the Lord's saying to us, I believe, through these readings that I'm going to be merciful. I'm giving you a lot of chances, but don't waste it. Don't assume that tomorrow will be here. You know, that's the danger. When you think, well, the Lord is kind and merciful, you know, we all know that, and he's forgiving and he'll forgive us. Well, I'll just ask for his forgiveness and I'll turn my life around tomorrow because it's a bad day today. No, don't do that, because we don't know if tomorrow will really be here. So we want to avoid making that mistake. So without further ado, let's look at these readings. The first reading of the gospel, I'm sorry, you know, I always start with the gospel on this show. And I think I'm going to be able to, I think, with these readings, I want to illustrate a point of how the church puts these together. Because, you know, the gospel, we've talked about this before, the gospel proceeds sequentially throughout the liturgical year. So now we are on the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 24, and we'll continue where we left off next week. So the Gospels, we're just plowing through the Gospels bit by bit. But the first reading and the responsorial psalm are not just following sequentially in order. They are chosen specifically to match the Gospel. So that if you look at the Gospel, and there could be several different points, you're not really sure what the church is trying to teach you with this reading, one of the best things to do is look at the first reading and the responsorial psalm and see. Because a lot of times, the message chosen by the church for this particular week is not the one you would ordinarily expect. And I think it's good, because I think when you proceed like that, it stretches you a little bit. Because when I read this gospel, I don't think the message of mercy and God's forgiveness is going to really jump out at you. But when you look at this gospel, the first reading, and the responsorial psalm altogether, well, then it's going to be more apparent. And then I always believe that the second reading, that we can always find something in the second reading to back up the main theme, even though the second reading, just like the gospel, goes sequentially in order. But and I was reading this today earlier, and I think I know where the Holy Spirit is going with this one, at least in my mind. So let's read it now. This is Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. And by the way, these are going to be three parables about the kingdom of heaven. So you're getting a triple header here. Three parables about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" All right, so that's the first parable. Now, I'll explain it more. And there's also, you're going to get the words of Jesus will also explain this parable. But remember, there are three parables. And essentially what he's saying, and this was a practice back in the time of our Lord, somebody who was jealous of the success of a farmer would plant weeds in the other farmer's field, hoping that the weeds would overtake the wheat and ruin his crops. It was a form of sabotage. And what would happen was you couldn't distinguish the weeds from the wheat until it grew sufficiently. And that's kind of what Jesus is getting at here. Now, the message is, you take a look at this, the first thing that comes to mind is what? That evil is allowed to function freely in the world, that God doesn't squash out the work of the evil one. Right? That's part of our world. Until Jesus comes again in his second coming, there's going to be evil permitted. The devil's still going to have his way. Even though ultimately God's in control, evil is permitted to exist. Why? Because God can always bring good out of it. But it does exist. I think that would be the take that I would get when I read this gospel. But remember, I'm going to look at the first reading of the responsorial psalm, and I want to show you something. So that's one parable. The kingdom of heaven, it's likened to a man who sows good seed. That's the Lord. But then there's going to be the evil one planting bad seeds in there too. So in this life, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said that, the kingdom is going to have some bad fruit growing along with the good stuff. And at one point in time, that's all going to get sorted out. But not right now. Okay? All right, then Jesus proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. So the kingdom of heaven starts out small and grows slowly, but it becomes very large. I mean, you look at the church, how it started with a bunch of fishermen and misfits, the apostles, led by Jesus. Look at what the church, how the church has grown on earth. So the kingdom starts out small and grows very large. And then he gives them a third parable. So these are all kingdom of heaven parables. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. So you and me, by being good, by following the commands of Jesus, we can be that leaven, that yeast, which makes a difference in the world. You know, we can all have an effect, even though we sometimes think, well, what good can I do? You can do a lot of good. You just do the good you can. All right, so now look, we had 3 parables about the kingdom of heaven. And we're then told all these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world. So he would tell these stories. He would have these great truths expressed in stories or parables. Then dismissing the crowds, so he's dismissing the crowds now, and his disciples approached him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. So this is not, he's not speaking to the crowd now. His disciples, the Lord's disciples are saying, can you explain this to us? Because they didn't get it either. And Jesus said, he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Okay? Now Jesus continues, just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin, and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. So as you hear that, you listen to that gospel, the message you would probably get is mainly, the main message would be that, yeah, there's a hell. And those who willingly reject God throughout their lives, they're going to go to hell. Right? I mean, don't you think that's what you get out of it? Now, let's look at the first reading, which comes from the book of Wisdom, chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. And we're going to see a little shift here. There is no God besides you who have the care of all, that you need show you have not unjustly condemned. For your might is the source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved. And in those who know you, you rebuke temerity. But though you are the master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us, for power, whenever you will, attends you. And you taught your people, by these deeds, that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope, that you would permit repentance for their sins. So you see how, now you look at this, you look at the gospel, and initially you might struggle, right? It's a little tricky, like, okay, where are we going with this? I'm not really sure. But you see this theme come through, especially in the last sentence. You gave your children good ground for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. So this idea of repentance or forgiveness or mercy, God gives us a chance to repent of our sins. Let's look at the gospel. The responsorial psalm. It comes from Psalm 86. Lord, you are good and forgiving. You see that? Lord, you are good and forgiving. Now we're really starting to get this forgiveness, this repentance theme going here. You, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading. All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. Turn toward me and have pity on me. Give your strength to your servant. So now, how about this? Let's put it all together. All right, I got to adjust my chair, so I'm ready for this. Okay, now I'm ready. Let's put it all together and take a look at the first reading, the psalm and the gospel. The weeds, they coexist with the wheat. But there's time. The weeds aren't immediately pulled out from the wheat field. They're left. They remain. And they grow together. Eventually, it's obvious. At harvest time, the wheat is recognized for being wheat. The weeds are easy to recognize as being weeds. And the weeds get yanked and get thrown away. Sometimes, you and me, we got a little weed in us. Little element of weed. The sins we commit, the imperfections, all the junk, right? But the Lord gives us time. He gives us time. He does not condemn us. Right up until, see now, up until this point in time, we have not been condemned. None of us are in hell. There's still time for us. We're not going to know when our time is up. We're not going to know the end of the world. We're not going to know the end of our time on earth. We don't know when that's going to happen. But at some time it is going to get, it will happen, and the weeds will be separated from the wheat. You don't want to be a weed when your time is up. That's essentially what this is all about. You are being given the gift of time. I can't tell you how much time you will be given in the future, but I can tell you right as of now, you have been given time. The Lord didn't give up on you. So today, what I would say is, make that resolution to repent, to get to confession, especially if it's been a while. Do it today. You've been given this great chance. Do it today and then begin anew. The Lord always gives us a chance to start over again, but that chance might not come tomorrow because I can't guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow. But right now, you are given the chance to repent. Don't blow it. Do it. Really, force yourself. It's been a while. If it's been a while since you've been in confession, make it a point to do it today, okay? And don't waste God's mercy. But isn't that interesting? We're going to read the second reading here, too, in the remaining time we have on the show. But look how the church weaves this narrative with the gospel, the first reading, and the responsorial psalm. So you see, if you can put them all together, and there are many different points in that gospel, but this one particular message is what the church wants you to hear on the 16th Sunday in ordinary time. And I think it's really good to let the church lead us through the Bible like this. It doesn't mean you can't do your own scripture reading, but during these, you know, during these Sunday masses, you can really get a nice image or a nice picture of what the church is trying to teach you, leading you down a certain path as you progress through the liturgical year. And toward the end of the year, you're going to really start hearing the end time messages. Now, you don't know how much time you have, because at the end of the church year, that's the message the church wants to really get across to you. Okay, so there you go. That's an example of how it all works together. Let's look at the second reading. It's not that long. It's from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. Now, the way the common theme that I would get from this is that the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to make you aware of the areas in your life that need work. Those areas that you need to repent of, the Holy Spirit can help you. So before you go to confession, say a prayer to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to inform your conscience, so that you know where you messed up. You know, and continue to pray for that grace going forward. Because if you got weeds growing in your life, you want to get rid of them before it's too late. Because those weeds are going to grow and grow and grow and grow. So you want to yank them out of your life. You want to address the problem now while you have the time. Okay, sound good? All right, listen, thanks for listening to the program. I'm really grateful that you're a listener. If you would not mind visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, and checking it out, I would really appreciate that. If you could possibly leave a donation so I can fund this program going forward in the future, it would really help me. With no speaking work available for the time being due to the pandemic, I would really appreciate your financial support so I can keep going with this show. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Just click on donate and you will be able to donate securely, totally securely through PayPal. You can either become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation, whatever works for you. But followingthetruth.com, donate is the way to do it. And I would be so thankful if you could do that. The other thing is, make sure you sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's a brief message that I send out once each day, Saturday and Sunday too. Doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is give me your email address and you will be on the list. I won't spam you. I'm just going to send the one email each day. And it's short. It's an easy read. It's anchored in a Bible verse and I have a reflection and just a way to remind you that Jesus loves you and he wants to be part of your life and he wants to speak to you every day. And he does that through scripture. So Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled is the daily email that I send out. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to sign up for it. If I can do anything for you, please let me know. My email is Gary@followingthetruth.com. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Just shoot me an email. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what I can do for you or if I can help you in any way. I just want you to know that I pray for you every day. And I hope that you would pray for me and my family as well. I would appreciate that. All right, I'm going to run. Thanks for listening to the show. Remember, take care of those weeds while you still have time. God bless you. And I look forward to being with you next time on The Gary Zimak Show.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.